This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Flunkies and Junkies, welcome to this week's episode of the NWA Saturday Special. I am your co-host, Scott Criscolo. Joining me as always, the doctor, Dr. G. Giorgio Bellino. How are you, sir?
Yo.
What's going on? How are you?
How are you?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Yeah. All right, that's it. Good night. Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Oh,
see you later, bye.
See you later, bye. No. It's good to be with you, doctor, as always. We are a week removed from our sexy return of the National Wrestling Alliance. And yes, for the first time on this week's episode, Doctor, for the first time in over a year, we will be reviewing a fresh episode of NWA Power.
It's a long time coming, baby.
It is. Thank you, Fight TV.
We really enjoyed doing the pay-per-view.
Yes, we did.
Last Sunday.
It was fun. It was. And if you want to go back in time, go back to the archive at placetobe.podbean.com on the PTV Wrestling Network. If you want to listen to the whole Monty, if you haven't watched the pay-per-view yet, this is what we recommend. Listen to last week's episode of the Saturday Special where Dr. G and I previewed the show and made our predictions, see if we're right. Then get Back for the Attack, because you can buy the replay now. While you're watching it, go to YouTube.com, find Place to Be Nation. And while you're watching the show, listen to the Twitch feed special we did, myself, the doctor, Sean Kidd, Callum McDougal. And we did a little, almost like alternate commentary on a Blu-ray. And incidentally, we did two last Sunday. We did Back for the Attack. And of course, later in the evening, we did WWE Fastlane. So you can check both of those out. And then you and I, doctor, did a Back for the Attack recap special at the end of the night on Sunday. So plenty of NWA last weekend, but now we are in our weekly groove. And this week, of course,
let's
Tuesday
hope it
night,
doesn't end anytime
nope,
soon.
Nope. I think we're good now. Tuesday night at 6:05 on Fight TV. Kudos to Fight TV, doctor. Boy, they're great. I tell you, you can get all sorts of good stuff on Fight TV. You could get NWA. You can get Ring of Honor. I think some countries you can get AEW and Impact. I don't know if you can get New Japan through them. I think you got to get the New Japan Pro World stream for that. And a ton of indie stuff. They do boxing. I like Fight TV. I always have.
No, they've done a great job. And honestly, the quality has been really good. And, I know I saw in some of the, the Facebook groups and, social media groups that are complaining, now we have to pay for Power. Listen, yes. I mean, unfortunately, they've had to change what they were, the way they were originally presenting the product due to COVID. And this could have happened anyway, even in the regular world. Eventually, you need different revenue streams if you're not going to be on cable TV or national TV. So I think, it's affordable. And, if we want to keep seeing our, favorite wrestlers, listen, I love to see how there's such a following, like a cult mm-hmm. following of the NWA.
Yeah,
I really felt it, and now that I'm I'm perusing all the different social media sites, like now I'm really starting to see people into it more than ever. Now I think people really missed it over the last year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm dying to find out how the pay per view actually did. I don't know if Meltzer or anybody else is reporting anything on that. I don't know if they have those kind of numbers. I don't know how Fight TV releases their numbers.
I don't either. I'll try and take a look. I will try
to take
and,
a look at myself.
Look into it. So we have the very first episode of Power, and there were four matches on the card. The show was about 52 minutes, but listen, people, some of us paid $25 a month for that, whatever the hell that rib job that we got from that UWM Primetime Live, where we got, you know, maybe seven NWA matches in 12 episodes and then got a bunch of scrubs, for $5 a month. Come on, people, get over it. I mean, it's $5. And you're getting, it may not be as long a show as UWM Primetime Live, but it's definitely more entertaining. There's actually promos and wrestlers, you know, and the production's definitely better. And I can't see how people can complain. I really can't. Anyway, let's get to the GPB studios. We're back in the studios, Dr. G. It's good to see the studios again, right? And
without a doubt,
the shiny floor and the blue apron and the blue canvas. And yes, Dr. G's favorite Dokken song of all time. Actually, it's the only song Dr. G knows from Dokken. Into the Fire is back. Is the
Into the Fire
is back.
I find myself singing that throughout the week. It's one of those songs that, yeah. What do they say? Those songs that get into your head, or
earworms.
That, you know, earworms. Exactly. Earworms. Thank you.
It is back as the, because remember they switched up after they did the pay-per-view title Into the Fire. Then they changed to that Pantera song, but Into the Fire is back as the official theme.
Do like people see you? You know, do you start singing it around work? In that building how many years ago when we had the actual fire there, they might get a little nervous.
Maybe. Yeah, I know exactly. Yeah. Well, let's not go back to those times. Climb to the roof. Climb to the roof. That poor guy stuck in the elevator. What's funny about Into the Fire, the song, Dr. G, is I think I said it in our Crock and Roll, one of our chats, that the other night I threw on, actually it was last night, I think, I threw on one of my favorite horror movies of all time, Nightmare on Elm Street Part 3, Dream Warriors, which is actually a great movie, and for horror. And Into the Fire was in the opening credits, so that was kind of cool. I'm like, wow, it's kind of neat. I'm thinking of it started playing in the middle, and I'm like, wait a minute, I know this song. And all of a sudden, Into the Fire, I'm like, what the fuck? It's freaking ridiculous. Anyway.
I know, right? But so, I tell you, though, I'm glad they brought that song back.
I do too.
It just felt right, you know?
Yeah.
All was right in the world.
I agree. So we get into the studios. The camera angle is a little different. In pre-COVID, when there was a crowd, the cameras were pointed at the crowd on the same side as the sets, both the interview desk and the desk where the announcers are. Now, without the crowd for the time being, the camera's on the crowd side. So now you're pointing at the announce desk and the interview desk. So a little different feng shui while you're watching the show. But I thought it was perfectly fine. Your announce team, as expected, Joe Galli is our play-by-play guy. Tim Storm returns as color commentator. So what do you think about that, Dr. G? Are we thinking that maybe Tim Storm is retired? I mean, he's in what, his mid-50s, I think, right?
Yeah, I think he's actually late 50s. I think you may see him occasionally wrestle, but I like this role for him.
Yeah, me too. I think he's very good. He did a great job at the pay-per-view. You know, little green, but, you know, so color commentary is not something you can just walk in and do, as we clearly will tell you in a minute. But yeah, I thought it was perfectly fine. I thought it was perfectly fine.
Yeah, and Joe Galli's a professional. I mean,
yes,
you know, he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, I said this to you on the recap show. When we first started watching the new NWA, I was not a Joe Galli fan. I thought he was a little glass of water, milk toasty. But he has definitely opened my eyes. He's a good, solid play-by-play guy. He has good opinions. He keeps the crowd fired up. He keeps the match fired up, brings the energy level. So I can't say anything bad about Joe Galli as play-by-play guy. I think he's exceptional.
I agree.
Now, we have Taryn Terrell, who I forgot to mention on the recap show. Taryn Terrell popped in and did commentary during the Camille Thunder Rosa match at the pay-per-view. She was not on the show. I think she's in the NWA now, though. But making her NWA debut, I don't know if this is as a commentator or if she's going to wrestle, is Kinetic. I know you're really excited.
Look at it. I got myself all upset.
My God, you got upset. Connecticut native and former Impact Knockouts champion Velvet Sky was that commentary to start the show. I've always thought Velvet Sky's a smoke show, and she's a great wrestler. And of course, she's married to Bubba Ray Dudley. Talk about upgrading, huh? Talk about marrying above your means. Anyway, let's hope he doesn't book NWA like he booked Ring of Honor. In any event,
don't worry about it. If he's on TV hugging Vince next week, you'll love him. Don't worry about it.
He already came back and hugged Vince, and then he left and went to Ring of Honor. I like Velvet Sky. She's gorgeous. She brings a good presence, but she talks too soft. She actually sounds like she's trying to, you know, talk to some 15-year-old kid with a box of Kleenex. She's got to get the energy level up when she's doing women's matches, and we'll talk about that with the opening match in a minute.
Yeah, she just didn't. First of all, I don't think you really need a 3-person team. I'm not a big fan of it.
Mm-hmm.
For wrestling, I mean, I know that AEW is doing it, and really a lot of the you know, companies are doing it, but the 2-man team is fine, or a 2-person team, I should say. You know, it's fine for me, but I don't know. She just didn't really do it for me there. I mean, yeah, you're right. She's a very pretty woman, you know, all that stuff. But I mean, again, she's obviously green to it, and maybe you get used to it. Like, you didn't like Joe Galli at first, and he grew on. So maybe over the, you know, upcoming weeks, we'll see some improvement, and she'll mesh in. We don't even know if she's going to be on every week, to be honest.
Right. No, we don't either.
We'll see when we watch it this week.
Right. So they get us pumped up. They're in the GPB studios, and we open with a promo. Alex Davis is over at the interview desk. I was bummed. I thought we'd get to see a little Sean Mooney action, and we don't. So bummer.
Yeah, maybe I don't know what happened with Sean Mooney. You know, I used to listen to Sean Mooney's podcast. They still play like replays of his podcast, but he went mm-hmm. and started doing like a different type of podcast now, not just wrestling.
Right.
So I'm not really sure if it just didn't work in with his schedule, because I know he's still a newscaster out in Arizona.
Right. Right.
But I really would have loved to have seen him. But mm-hmm. again, not too crazy with what we have right now. But maybe it's just because we were expecting, or were you used to someone else? Maybe it just takes some time to get used to.
Yeah, no, it's entirely possible. And but I think she'll grow into it. So we open the show again. Alex Davis is our interview guy, and out comes the National Treasure, your NWA World's Heavyweight Champion, Nick Aldis, the National Treasure, who successfully defended his title. Exactly. Who successfully defended his title at Back to the Attack against Aaron Stevens. And out with him came Tom Latimer and Camille in their track jackets. So yes, indeed, Dr. Strictly Business is still in charge. And Tom Latimer just looks perpetually angry. I kind of dig that.
He actually has edgier side this time around.
Yeah, I agree. I got a point I want to make at the end of the show, but and you know, Al just cuts his usual promo about how great the NWA is and power's back and we're doing it and it's all on him and yada yada, and he talks about our 6-man champions main event tonight. So our main event tonight is a 6-man tag match with a ton of champions. We'll see what that means in a minute. Then we go to the ring for our first match. Speaking of Strictly Business, Camille takes on Alex Gracia, who I believe, Doctor, is one of Thunder Rosa's girls from her promotion down in Mexico. She took a picture on Twitter of her whole crew, and Alex Gracia was one of them. And then there was this all taller woman with like gray, like silver face paint. She was pretty intimidating. I kind of dug her, actually. I hope we see her in the coming weeks. Because she looked pretty badass. But anyway, Camille, it's now time. You know, this is going to remind me of, Doctor, a lot of right after the 92 Rumble, when Sid was pissed off that Hogan kind of stole his spot, and then he spent the next couple months just fucking burying jobbers left and right on superstars. I think that's what we're going to see with Camille for the coming weeks, because she took Alex Gracia to the fucking woodshed in this match. And I got to say, I felt she was much crisper here than against Thunder Rosa. But I think Camille, she beat Gracia in 2 minutes and 42 seconds with the spear, which I think is a pretty good move. She does. She executes it very well. Camille, to me, seems like one of those that kind of like your boy Magnum TA early on. I feel like Camille's one of those that maybe shorter matches are better for her. Maybe like a three and a half minute match where she just chucks some girl all over the place and you know, finishes her off for the time being. She is going to have to adapt to longer matches if she wants to be a world champion. But for now, I think it's good every couple weeks on Power.
She just destroyed her, though.
Yeah, she chucked her all over the place. Yeah, it was pretty awesome. It was pretty awesome.
But I think they needed I think they need to get her over as a monster heel. And
I agree.
And they're doing a good job with it.
Yeah, I agree. I think we need to see her every week just truck somebody in like 2.5 minutes.
You could tell that she's definitely green. There's no doubt about it.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. But she's working hard, and she's putting over her charisma as a monster and a bully and just kicking the shit out of people.
Now, in terms of on the stick, she definitely needs a lot of work.
Oh,
there.
She does. Yeah,
she actually was better when they had her as the silent assassin.
I kind of dug it. I kind of dug it, actually, too. So in 2 minutes and 42 seconds, Camille defeats Alex Gracia comfortably in a typical squash, putting her over. Next interview, back to Alex Davis at the table, and out comes your favorite world's television champion and mine, the Pope, Elijah Burke. And the Pope's got a great presence. Wears the flashy shirt, very rock type, cut a killer promo. Now, there's a guy that knows the stick. And maybe he's somebody that can kind of,
He could be actually the best in the NWA.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. He puts over, obviously, the title and what he's worked for and what to look ahead to, and talked about the match at Back for the Attack, the 10-minute draw with Tom Latimer, and how he didn't like the way it ended and he wanted to keep going and yada, yada. And looking ahead. So Pope goes to the broadcast table with Joe and Tim, and that brings us to our second match of the night. It is a triple threat, a three-way match, to determine the new number one contender for the television title. So the winner of this match will get a future TV title shot with the Pope. Your participants, our good friend, Dr. G, Fred Rosser. I'm glad to actually see Fred Rosser back. I like Fred. I loved him on. He was one of the bright moments for me while watching UWN Primetime Live. A good worker and a good guy. So I liked Fred Rosser's in. Matt Cross, a guy we saw a few times on Power last year and a couple of pay per views. He's an ROH guy. And a guy named Marche Rocket. I've never seen him before. But he's a house. He reminds me of, he reminded me of, God rest his soul, he reminded me of Shad Gaspard. Kind of that just big, hulking guy, Big dude, brute, big power, and obviously probably another CWF guy, I'm assuming, or CWH guy. But fun little three-way. Big-time moves. Guys getting thrown all over the place. Marsha Rocket was throwing guys everywhere. Everybody was utilizing their strengths. Matt Cross was going to try to do a move off the top rope, one of his planches, missed it. Fred Rosser hit his finisher, which I'm trying to remember what the name of his finisher is. I'm trying to get accustomed to that. It's kind of like it's like a gut check finisher, and he hits it, gets the win, pins Matt Cross, and Fred Rosser is your number one contender for the world TV title. I thought this was a good match. 5 minutes and 11 seconds, pretty good sprint. Matt Cross is always a good hand doctor. We've seen him many times. First off, what was your thoughts on the match? What did you think of this Marche Rocket?
Yeah, it was. They need a good big. They need some big men in the NWA. So I think having a house like him definitely will add to the heel stable in the NWA. Matt Cross, I remember watching him on Power. Last year. you know, pretty good worker. And then Fred Rosser, I mean, going, you know, let's put it this way. When we went to that match, I'm like, I think Fred Rosser is going to be the winner. I mean, I don't think that was too hard for us to pick out. But I thought they did a pretty good job in the short period of time. And I love the fact that, you know, Pope's on commentary, you know, to build up a match, which I think will be a pretty good match when those two face off. And mm-hmm. I think you'll see Rosser and the Pope put on a good show, whether it be on a pay-per-view or a power. I don't know what they're going to do. But I'm not a big proponent of the, you know, the three-man matches. A lot of times, I don't know, you just lose something in it, or triple threat, whatever you want to call it. I know mm-hmm. WWE calls it triple threat. I'm not really into those type of matches, but I have to say, I actually enjoyed this one.
Mm.
How do you feel about triple threat matches?
Again, I think it all comes down to the guys. If you go on my GWWE top 100 list, WCW didn't do triple threats a lot. I noticed that. They're not big into that kind of thing. But, I mean, I've got two or three triple threats sprinkled around my countdown. I mean, one of my favorite triple threats of all time I was live at, and that was at WrestleMania 20 between Shawn Michaels, Triple H, and Benoit. Another great one is Vengeance 2002, The Rock, Undertaker, and Kurt Angle. It all depends on the guys. It all depends on the guys. At least here, this match was 5-11. I'm sure they worked it out during the day. And it added some flow. Sometimes you do multiple pair offs. You have two guys wrestle each other while another guy's kind of hanging around the apron, and then you kind of switch off and you do it. You could book it easily to where it doesn't look as much of unbridled chaos as it would seem. But I to your point, I think it all comes down to who the guys are. Or girls, triple threat women's
matches. Yeah, no, I agree. I think, I guess I don't really like it for a title match because, you know, in some of them it could be like the champion doesn't have to be pinned to lose the championship. I mean, I guess you could say it adds a little spice to it. I don't know. Just a lot of times, I mean, there have been some great triple threat matches. Don't get me wrong. It's just, I think at one time it was just getting utilized too much. I think it's nice to see every once in a while, not something that's a consistent type of match that you see on television or on pay-per-view. But, I mean, you may see a little bit more of that, especially in a small company like NWA when they're trying to get, you know, if they're only working with a certain period of time and they have a bunch of guys in the back, they want to get them all paydays and get them on, you know, get some exposure, so you may have to utilize it a little bit more.
I agree. And again, Fred Rosser's no, you know, I mean, Matt Cross, really, Marche Rocket is probably a little younger, but both Matt Cross and Fred Rosser have been in the business a while, so you're not talking total rookies in that aspect. The other thing I wanted to mention, I don't know if you noticed it or not, I heard it a second time when I watched it, and then I think Callum or Sean mentioned it in the chat. The Pope, fortunately, Pope talks fast, so you don't really catch it, but at one point he did call Fred Rosser Darren Young. Did you catch that?
I didn't catch it.
Yeah,
well,
he said it.
Because I didn't watch it back a second time. I didn't have a chance to, but I, you know, when we were watching it on Twitch, I couldn't get all the commentary, so.
Right. No, not on That's Twitch. Funny. On Fight TV, you mean. Not on Twitch. I'm talking about on Tuesday.
Oh, right.
Not on the pay-per-view, on Tuesday.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, no, I'm sorry. You're right. Yeah. You know what? I'm getting myself confused because it was within a couple of days of each other, the two shows. I keep doing that all day today yeah. when we're talking about it.
But yeah, not the Twitch. We were on fire on the Twitch feed.
Yeah, I honestly did not catch it.
Yeah, watch it again. And he actually, at one point during commentary, calls him Darren Young, which I think is pretty damn funny. Lost my train of thought. So Fred Rosser gets the win and will take on the Pope somewhere down the line for a NWA.
You need some coffee over there.
Television Championship match. Well, something flashed on the screen on my computer on the cage. I'm using Cage Match just to help me with my notes. Great site, by the way, the Internet Wrestling Database. And it blinked for something, and I got a little thrown off. You know,
at least you didn't get the blue screen of death, you know.
Oh, God, like no.
That you don't want to see on your computer.
I pay enough for Norton on this thing. So, all right. So after that, May Valentine interviews Slice Boogie. Slice Boogie. And he starts macking on her, which I thought was fucking great. Somebody said,
yeah, man, Slice Boogie.
Slice Boogie.
She's okay back
then. Yeah, she's also
she's another one that needs a little work.
Yeah, I don't think May Valentine had done interviews before Sunday, so she'll need more with practice. I think she'll be pretty good.
Yeah, you know, listen, they're not a big gigantic company. They got to use, you know, everybody's got to do different types of jobs and you know, kind of learn on the job, which isn't always easy, but, you know, it's sometimes necessary. And, I mean, I wouldn't say she was horrendous. It was just wasn't good, you know.
Right.
But she'll get there in time, I believe.
I agree. I think Slice Boogie, incidentally, Doctor, and I think it was Callum said something to us during the week. Slice Boogie might be a new teammate for a guy that we didn't see this week on Power. I have a feeling we're going to see him this coming Tuesday, and that's Homicide. Homicide, I believe, is going to return to the NWA. Of course, Homicide and your boy Eddie Kingston were tag partners. Of course, Eddie Kingston has moved on to AEW. I think Slice Boogie and Homicide would make a pretty good team. So
they would. I
think the NWA needs to beef this tag division up. Of course, our tag champions, who we'll see, are in our main event. So after the Slice Boogie interview, we go to our third match of the night, another squash, Jordan Clearwater, who looked pretty impressive in the a four-way match at the pay-per-view, taking on a big hoss of a guy named Mike Paro. Now, the name sounded familiar, Doctor, when you and I were watching the show. So I looked it up, and Mike Paro, going all the way back to October of 2018 at the NWA 70th anniversary show when they were crowning the new national heavyweight champion. There was that four-way elimination match, which was a national tournament semifinal. There were two semi-final four ways, if you remember, at that pay-per-view. One was Sam Shaw, Colt Cabana, Sammy Guevara, and Scorpio Sky. Of course, Sam Shaw is now in WWE, NXT. We know where Colt Cabana is in AEW. Sammy Guevara is in AEW. Scorpio Sky is in AEW. Then the second four way was Willie Mack, who's in Impact, Jay Bradley, who's been everywhere, Ricky Starks, who was in NWA, now also in AEW, and Mike Paro. And I knew I remember that name. And he returned and beat the snot out of Jordan Clearwater in 3 minutes and 4 seconds. You were talking about more big guys, Dr. G. Mike Paro is a big dude. And he Jordan Clearwater is a little guy. And Mike Paro, big power moves, kind of like guillotine choke slam kind of moves. Jordan Clearwater tried, threw a couple missile drop kicks, but could not get this guy down. And
yeah, I was surprised it was going to be that much of a squash because Clearwater looked pretty good when we were watching him on the UWN shows. But you know what? Sometimes you got to do what you got to do to get some guys over. Doesn't mean that Clearwater can't come back and, you know, have a good run.
Right. No, absolutely. But you need jobbers.
But
you need
guys, you know, that are put you're guys right. Over. The name Mike Paro sounded familiar, and I couldn't remember where I heard it, but.
Yeah.
Now that makes sense. I kind of remember now.
Yep, he was.
I have gone back and watched that show.
Yeah, we of course recapped it. We did a review of it right here on the Saturday special. Go back to the archives at placetobe.podbean.com here on the PTB Wrestling Network, and go back to the Saturday special archives. And Dr. G and I reviewed that 70th anniversary show back in October of 2018, and Mike Paro was in one of those four way matches. So he's a guy that's going to be a player. I think we'll see him slowly move up the ladder and start continuing to pummel jobbers similar to Camille. And now our main event. It is a 6-man tag loaded with champions. In one corner, Strictly Business, Nick Aldis, our world's heavyweight champion, and Tom Latimer. Now, Camille wasn't going to wrestle, and she already did. And obviously, as we mentioned, Royce Isaacs is gone. He left the NWA, so they don't have a fourth member of Strictly Business. So who walked out to help them? I had a feeling this was coming. And again, we got to thank Suki Kettle himself there, Callum McDougall, for calling this one. Chris Adonis walked out, the guy who lost a national championship title match at the pay-per-view against Trevor Murdoch and then beat the shit out of him afterwards. And as a matter of fact, Joe Galli says on the show that Trevor Murdoch was supposed to be on the program this week, but was in the hospital thanks to the beating that Chris Adonis gave him. There we go, doctor. Injury storylines. Those are always nice and saucy.
Classic NWA right there.
Yep. Sending guys to the hospital. That's what we like. So, but did you notice, doctor, that Tom Latimer looked at Nick Aldis like, the fuck is this clown? And Nick Aldis is like, trust me, trust me. This is what I wanted to ask you earlier. Could you see Tom Latimer like 6 months down the line just fucking totally turning on Aldis and beating the shit out of him?
Yes.
I do too.
I think that's where they're going.
I think so too. I think because they're best friends, Aldis and Latimer. So I could easily see an Aldis Latimer world title.
Feud. No doubt.
You know,
I could see Latimer being world champion.
I can absolutely see Latimer being world champion. So I could see that story. I could see him turning on him by, you know, August or September. Let's keep tabs on that. So that's one team.
You want one of those track jackets, though.
Fuck yeah, I want one of those track jackets. I hope the NWA, when they haven't re-put their shop up yet on their refurbished NationalWrestlingAlliance.com website. Once the shop is open, though, I'm getting a track jacket. What do you think? We could put the Podfather, the Doctor, the Treasure, that's for Sean, and the Hot Scott. Right? What do you think?
But that, wouldn't that be you?
But the Hot Scott? That is, well, of course. But I don't know. Should we put the Kettle Master on the track jacket? What do you think?
The Kettle Master.
Anyway, so it's Strictly Business and Chris Adonis, and in the other corner, all champions: the Pope, our world's television champion, and our world tag team champions, Aaron Stevens and J.R. Kratos. Oh, I'm sorry, Kratos. See, it's not just Vince that takes away first and last names. So six-man tag action here. Pretty good match. I noticed that Latimer and Aldis really didn't get in the ring that much. I noticed Adonis did a ton of the work. Aaron Stevens took a beating, and then he tagged in the Pope, and J.R. Kratos was kind of like jaw-jacking at him and like kind of berating him. And then in the climax, Kratos went to get a chair from the outside and was going to paste Chris Adonis with it. But Aaron Stevens took the chair out of Kratos' hand. Kratos is arguing with his partner. Chris Adonis rolls him up and gets the victory. So in 10 minutes and 37 seconds, in a pretty fun six-man tag, I enjoyed it. Good action. Chris Adonis and Strictly Business get the win. I tell you, when was the last time Nick Aldis lost a match? I feel like he's on like a killer winning streak every time we've seen him on TV.
I know, you're paper. Right.
It's been a long time since we've seen him lose. Yeah, I know, right? So Kratos and Aaron Stevens, who seems to be maybe turning babyface, start jaw-jacking with each other. And Stevens is like, here, this belt's yours. So definitely a little bit of dissension with our world tag team champions. And with that, we go off the air. Your thoughts on the six-man tag? And what are your thoughts on this dissension on the between Kratos and Aaron Stevens? I like it because Kratos is a heel. I mean, he acts like one. He wrestles like one. He's a heel.
Yeah.
And thoughts
on
the match?
So is Aaron Stevens. I like Aaron Stevens better as a heel, but I get where they're going. You know, Aaron Stevens, obviously we've seen him when he was in WWE as Ms. Dow and then Damian Sandow when he had his little runs where he kind of was like that tweener. And then, you know, the fans loved him so much that he kind of became a face. When he was Mizdow, he has the personality to do it, but I think he's a much better heel.
Mm-hmm.
But I like the dissension. I like those kind of storylines. They're just simple storylines, and obviously something's gonna happen where they lose the belts, and that's when Kratos is going to turn on him.
Right. There is one thing I forgot. There was a promo in the middle. I had it on my notes here. Out came our former women's world champion, Thunder Rosa, who cut a promo thanking the fans, and Camille was the better wrestler, and you won't see the last of me. And then out came Melina. Now, if you remember, Melina was kind of working with Marty Bell and Thunder Rosa as kind of a little trio in the pre-COVID era. But Thunder Rosa was slowly starting to turn babyface even after she won the title from Allison Kay. So now Melina looks like she wants to kind of get things back together and kind of bring the band back together. And Thunder Rosa said, listen, man, that was then. This is now. I mean, I've been wrestling on Dynamite. I won the world title. I had the belt almost the whole year. I don't need any help right now. You know, so probably a little dissension there. I think we will see. I think we'll see Melina probably go after Thunder Rosa, and because Thunder Rosa clearly a babyface here. What were your thoughts? Thunder Rosa's promo skills are not terrible. They also need a little work, and she's and it's not a language thing. She speaks perfectly good English, so it's not that kind of thing.
She just, yeah, you know, no, it's. Again, it's you know, you figure some of these, even though she's been on Dynamite and stuff like that, but they're not in sync. They're not getting the time, the TV time. It's very important in this business to have, just like with having matches. That's why I was saying in previous shows, it would be nice to have some of the green guys from AEW maybe coming and working some NWA shows to get some in-ring time. It would help the NWA, and obviously would help those guys, because you're not going to become great at any craft that you do, any job that you do, unless you have, you know, the repetition. And until they could do that. So Thunder Rosa, obviously we know she could do it in the ring. But she probably just needs a little more time on the mic. She's, like you said, she's not horrible, but she could use some work. And it's going to be interesting to see how that storyline's going to play out. Who's going to be the heel in that storyline? That's the weird part.
Gotta be honest, I'm not quite sure. I am not quite sure.
Which is what makes it fun. So I'm looking forward to that. Some really, I felt like, you know, the pay-per-view kind of started the ball rolling, but I felt like Power, really, you're starting to see some storylines come into focus and something to follow every week. And again, simple wrestling storylines. We've seen it before. You know, we don't have to reinvent the wheel. So you just reuse, storylines just with different people. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's nothing wrong with doing that. Because that's what worked. That's what people made people's fans of professional wrestling. Mm-hmm. Now, sometimes some of the execution's great and it's an awesome storyline, and sometimes the execution isn't there and it's a dud. Doesn't mean that you can't go back to that storyline with other people. Just that sometimes the people that you put in place are don't do it for you.
Right. Right. Yeah. No. I agree. And I think that. I think Kratos could be a great heel on his own. I hope we could strike a good balance, because I feel like we're seeing a couple of babyface turns here, and I think they need to kind of
Do you like the roster that the NWA has now? It seems like they have a pretty good core group.
They have a great core, but they need to build it. I'll be honest, I don't disagree with you. I wouldn't mind seeing some AEW guys here. Why not bring in the Revival, or whatever the fuck they're called in AEW? I don't even know what they are. I think it'd be pretty cool. Bring in Tully Blanchard for a quick shot, not to wrestle, but maybe to cut a promo. Bring in Britt Baker. You know what I mean? I'm not crazy about what's going on right now.
I'd like to see Nikita back in the Koloff Dynasty. That would be great.
I would love to see the Koloff Dynasty. I'm not crazy about what's going on right now, and we'll talk more about this. I'll bring this up with Steve and Nate on this coming week's episode of the main event. But I'm not crazy about the fact that Kenny Omega is going up against Rich Swann, title versus title. I don't like that, because you know Kenny Omega is going to win and poor Rich Swann's going to get buried, and clearly AEW is going to look like the better promotion. And I don't. That's why I don't like promotion. Working together, because somebody's got to look like shit at the end. And why can't Rich Swann beat Kenny Omega? And you know that's not going to happen. So. I don't mind two promotions working together, but there's a limit to that. And when you start doing title versus title, Now you're pretty much acknowledging that this promotion's second rate, and I'm not crazy with that. But that doesn't mean I don't think people
most likely you're probably right that the AEW guy won. But you know what? Tony Khan never ceases to amaze me. He has such a love for the history of the business. He could swerve everybody and have Kenny lose the belt. Who knows?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I could see him doing something like that because he's so unconventional. Like, you see, all right, we'll put the NWA World Women's Champion. We'll have our wrestler become their champion for a little while. You know, like, he'll take those chances, which is fun.
Right. Right. And I think the women's division is gonna grow. Thunder Rose is here. Melina's here. Camille is here. Karen Terrell is here. She came out of retirement after 3 years, and she wants to make her presence felt. And I don't think Sky's gonna wrestle. If she does, that's awesome, because I thought she was a tremendous knockouts champion in Impact. So I think the women's division will. I think the women's division will still looking better than AEW. Come on, I had to get that dig in, but. But I would like to see some. But you know what? Go for the gusto. Why not have Cody walk out on an episode of Power? Why the fuck not? If Rick Moranis there wants to be all about hobnobbing and baby kissing and stuff, have Cody show up on Power. How cool would that be?
Would it put it past them? I who knows? That's the fun part of it. The smart deal Billy made with them and putting the Thunder Rosa on there kept the NWA name out there.
Hey, they still need a third match. Still need a rubber match. Cody won the belt. Cody won the title at All In. And Aldis won the title back at the NWA 70th anniversary show. So there is. Remember when we used to play Mortal Kombat in the dorm? And our buddy Vic and I used to say rubber match when we get to the third match? Well, guess what? Nick Aldis and Cody are due for a rubber match, and sign me up for that one. Sign me on that one. I will do that. I will watch that one in a heartbeat. So yeah, there's this week's episode. I agree. So there's this week's episode of NWA Power, the Return Power. Overall, Doctor, not a bad show. I was looking some comments that the show was a little slow, but I think. I think
we were probably expecting, I think everybody was expecting some surprises.
Yeah.
And, you know, we didn't get it. But, you know, again, if you're going to do a weekly show, you got to kind of build it. I felt some storylines, you could start seeing them. When you're going to cook or you're going to bake something, you have to get all the ingredients together first. That's what this show was. Let's get all the ingredients. Let's see what we have. And then we start putting it all together. And I have a feeling this week's Power show will be much better. I think I think you'll really start seeing some storylines come more into focus.
I have a feeling.
And maybe see a surprise. I mean, I think everybody's kind of waiting for that element of surprise. Maybe see some guy you didn't expect. Listen, the NWA is not going to get, guys that were just major stars somewhere. They may get somebody that was a star at one time. Listen, they have Trevor Murdoch. Trevor Murdoch had a nice run in the WWE. Mm-hmm. So did Fred Rosser. So did the Pope. They had nice runs in the WWE, but that was, some years ago. So you're going to find guys that maybe, were an Impact or, I don't know. I mean, Andrade is without a contract. Is he going to come to the NWA? I don't know if he's not going to make that kind of money. But, who knows? That's the thing. And I do think I would love to see a working relationship with AEW, though. I really do.
Mm.
Because
maybe they should reach out to Impact. I don't see why. I don't see why NWA can't reach back out to Ring of Honor and work with them again. I don't see why they,
They might, and I don't know what the dynamic is. Obviously, something happened with the dynamic with Billy and Dave Marquez. So, not that anything's officially been put out there, but you look on Twitter and you see certain things. It seems like there's some bitterness there, but
Dave Marquez has no one to blame but himself when he booked all that. Got the NWA fans all excited, and then by the fourth episode, we saw no NWA matches. So he's got no one to blame but himself. in terms of public opinion.
We don't know what the dynamic was behind the scenes. There's nothing that's come out, but
listen,
you know, we got a little upset with Billy because we weren't getting the answers we wanted, and now he's come back, and you know, the NWA is back, and he promised it would be, and it's here, and we got to be excited with that, and I really hope, like you said, you know, the new NWA site, website, so maybe they're going to have some new merchandise. You know, merchandise to me is key. Like, it would be nice to see those guys coming out with their own merchandise when they come into the ring.
I agree with you. In fact, I'm going to the website right now, NationalWrestlingAlliance.com. We're back. Let me click on shop. Yep, still under construction. So, you know, I think if I remember correctly, Thunder Rosa is going to be on next week on the show. And I think we'll see an interview with Stevens and Kratos and see where that goes. And we'll figure out when our TV title match between the Pope and Fred Rosser will be. And maybe Nick Aldis is openly recruiting a fourth member of Strictly Business to replace Royce Isaacs. We'll see. I don't really have anything
down
else.
There. Don't worry about it.
I'll take the track jacket any day. Oh, and I didn't appreciate Joe Galli with that cheap plug for that snake oil salesman in his swampland in Gainesville, in Huntsville. I didn't appreciate that, Galli. There's only one Podfather. And if we're doing your Twitch feeds,
I was going to bring it up, and I was like, I didn't want to extend the show much longer. So I was kind of like, we'll leave it alone. Well, but you remembered. Obviously, he paid to be on there. So that's interesting. That's all I have to say. I was going to say to you off the air, do you think that maybe he's going to become an investor in the NWA with Billy?
Oh, so he's going to try and buy my loyalty, huh? Interesting. Fucking fat hillbilly. We'll see. All right, so you like that? We start to start our own storylines here. All right, that'll do it for this week. Nice quickie, nice sprint episode of the NWA Saturday Special. We hope you enjoyed it. We hope you enjoyed the Power Recap. We'll be back next week, same time. Episode will drop 9 a.m. Saturday morning, Easter weekend next weekend. We will, of course, recap this coming Tuesday's episode of Power. We'll see when our Fred Rosser Pope TV title match will be. We'll see if the tension building between Kratos and Aaron Stevens over there. The guys are still tag team champions. Maybe we'll get an update on Trevor Murdoch taken to the hospital by Chris Adonis and plenty more. So you can follow the doctor on Twitter at PTB. I was going to say PTB Podfather. There's only one of those. You can follow me on Twitter at PTB Podfather. You can follow the doctor on Twitter at Dr. G PTB. And of course, follow the brand on Twitter at Place to Be Nation. Of course, for those that saw it drop today, the tremendous episode of NWA Croc and Roll, Starrcade 85, I was humbled enough to join you gentlemen. But Croc and Roll will be going on hiatus for the
pleasure is all yours.
The pleasure was all mine, yes. Now I'm taking you off the air. No, I'm just kidding. Dude, of course, the migration of the WWE Network content to the Cock. You guys are taking a bit of a hiatus, from the bi-weekly show. I know Sean Kidd said you guys will probably do a couple of specials over the summer to talk about certain topics, but the bi-weekly show is on hiatus for the time being. But we'll see you guys. This isn't like a Stephen Graham show where you'll just never come back. We'll see you guys in the fall. But
we'll have Rock and Roll Saturday special too.
Huh? Oh yeah,
of
course.
On the Saturday
special. Oh yeah, no. So we will obviously have Shawnee and Callum on the Saturday special. Absolutely. Maybe special episodes of Power, they'll join us. Maybe we'll have them on for the next pay-per-view, because I'm sure a pay-per-view will be announced soon, we hope. But once they kind of get their feet under themselves again. New episode of Highway to the Impact Zone is up. Jacob and Kelly's GWCW Countdown is up. Coming up this week, we will have a new episode of The Main Event, new episode of Pro Wrestling Love, new episode of Chronology. Actually, later today, if you're listening to this on Saturday, later today, my three mates from the other side of the pond, Callum, Ben, and Rory, with the newest episode of the Special Relations Podcast, will be up later today if you're listening to this on Saturday. And so stay with us. Rate, review, subscribe.
Rate, review, subscribe, baby.
All of the Quad Pods, of course, the the PTB Wrestling Network, the PTB Pop Experience, where you and I, Doctor, do the urine pop with Andy and Mr. D'Amato, the Jenny Position, and of course the No-So. So all the great feed, all the great content in the quad of pods. Dr. G, always a pleasure. Have a great week, everybody. We'll talk to you next Saturday morning, dropping at 9 a.m. on the Place to Be Wrestling Network. I am Scott. He is the Doctor. And fortunately, you're not.
Ciao.
Ciao.
Hit the music.
Your eyes, they beckon me. Your lips, they speak lies and misery.